But not you, Dan.
Epistle reading, Romans 13. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Do this, knowing the time that is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. From now, salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Dan. Good to have you. Our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew, the 18th chapter. And in this passage, Jesus is talking about how we discipline ourselves, how we work things out. And it's not only by talking with one another, of course, it's by talking with the Lord. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you've won your brother. If he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the church, and if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on anything on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I'm there in their midst. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Andy, would you lead us in prayer for this time of learning and growth?
Lord, I invite your Holy Spirit to join us, because you already have. So, Lord, I ask that you would open our ears and open our minds and our hearts to hear your word as it's delivered now. And I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit would write on each sound wave that comes from Frank's mouth. And it would just resonate in our hearts and prepare our hearts, Lord. Make us ready. In Jesus' name.
Amen. It's been another rough week as we have watched the news, and we've learned that yet another American journalist has been beheaded by ISIS. Stephen Sotloff. That's a picture of Stephen there on the screen with his dog. He was a gentleman who loved animals and loved people. On Wednesday, it was said of him, this is a gentle soul. And a friend of his challenged ISIS to a debate on the peaceful teachings of the Quran. Now that's gutsy. Here's somebody who's doing something, not in a mean spirit, but saying something's wrong here and it's got to change. This isn't the first time and it won't be the last. There are many events that have threatened the well-being of the people on this planet. There are certainly the natural disasters and the disease. But the darkest ones are the ones that wear the face of evil. Individuals that choose a sinful path and people get hurt. Like a shooting in a movie theater or an elementary school. And if you work in an elementary school, it's like, whoa. Every time that happens, you think that could be us. And it hurts. But corporate sin is even more evil. It's even worse because many people get co-opted into this pall of, this spreading a pall of suffering. The Crusades, the Christian church, the so-called Christian church in the Middle Ages did it. It's not a proud moment in our history as Christians. And I don't know that these people really knew the Lord, or how could they do that kind of thing? To go to march into Palestine and say, this is our land, and start slaughtering Islamic peoples. Do you think God was really involved in that? Oh, God was involved. But I think he was sitting with the Islamic peoples in that moment. Not with the people who were calling themselves Christian. And of course, there were the pogroms in Russia, the genocide in Rwanda. The word Al-Qaeda, that phrase just kind of sends chills through us. But now we've got this new one, ISIS. And the chills are icier. Today's gospel speaks to the binding of evil and the release of godly power. The kind of power that is made effective by critical mass. Critical mass. Now, what's that? It's a term that was first used by physicists to describe the conditions that were necessary for a molecular chain reaction, which activates after a certain atomic weight is reached and the atom splits. And once that starts, the process is unstoppable. Tremendous energy is released. Safely harnessed, it turns massive turbines that create electrical power. And here we are. But packed into a metal casing, it becomes the most deadly of bombs. But nothing happens until critical mass is reached. Jesus uses that principle in today's gospel passage. And he applies it to the problem of personal sin, personal and corporate sin. Does anybody here have a problem with sin in your life? Come on. Get those hands up. And if you have any trouble pinning down your sin, just ask a good friend. They can usually help you. People that know you well. You say, well, I don't really invite people to point out my faults. Well, it's a good practice. And to sit there while somebody says, you know, I don't think this really was so good. In fact, I think you're really wrong on this. You know, to sit still and to hear that, that's a godly thing. But that's what God wants. That's what's reflected in this passage of Scripture. If your brother sins, go show him his fault. Where? In private. Work it out. And if he listens to you, you have won your brother. Jesus, in talking about critical mass, says it's amazingly small. He says in verse 19, again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. How many was that? Two. Two people getting together, two friends, two colleagues, two people who say, you know, we're going to be together in this, and we're going to seek God's face, and we're going to do God's will. We can be really wrong on that at times. That's the scary part of it. That's why it's important that it not be just me. Because I can, you know, there are any number of people that think they hear from God. And that's, you know, Son of Sam kinds of stuff. You know, somebody who thinks they hear from God and they go off and do all kinds of heinous things and they said it was, you know, God told me to do it. So wait a minute, you better check that out. Where two or three, he says, are gathered in my name, I'm right there in the midst. Jesus meant for his called out people to be able to operate within a minimum of administrative structure. Two or three, he says, that's all I need. Two or three hearts, two or three minds, two or three bodies and souls that are fully dedicated to me. Watch what I can do with this. We don't need standing committees or elaborate flow charts. And we don't even need to take a vote. We're learning that, right? That's not easy to get beyond when you're an American. We think that voting is our constitutional right. We're saying, you know, there's something better than a vote where you have winners and losers. Get together and work this thing out and listen to one another. Don't do battle with your brother or your sister. Listen to them. When one or two come together, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is right there in their midst. I should say with one. One plus one or two more. He says, I'm right there. Right there in your midst. And in my name, says Jesus, the Holy Spirit is present. Andy prayed, we don't have to ask for the presence of your Spirit. We already know your Spirit's here. That's exactly it. Do you sense his presence? If the critical mass of two or three gathered in Jesus' name is reached, then it becomes unstoppable. The gates of hell will not prevail. Another thing that Jesus said, you know, when you're doing what you're doing in my name, hell can't stop you. The church, this is another sermon that I haven't preached here yet, the church, and I'm not cursing, the church is stronger than hell, literally. And so how do we get at this? We're talking prayer. Prayer in the name of Jesus. Prayer in the Spirit. Now, when we talk about praying in the name of Jesus, I'm not talking about the formula that we tack on the end to make it official. I-T-N-O-J, you know, in the name of Jesus. It's not a formula. It's a life that's open and searched by the Holy Spirit. It's childlikeness. When we get to be like kids who are teachable and willing to trust, and our conversation with God goes something like this. Daddy? Sounds like class, doesn't it? Daddy, what about me is getting in the way of God's kingdom? And then we listen. He says, well, now that you asked, there are some things that I want to talk with you about. You know that thing that your son talked with you about a few days ago? That was really me. Holy Spirit, help me to hear this because this hurts. And then once we hear, you know, then we go to the intercessor. We go to Jesus and says, Jesus, help me. heal me from this malady, this brokenness in my soul. And when I start to get healed, that's good. That's good for my household. That's good for my community. That's good for the world. We might think of this in the way that it's spoken of by Jesus when he says that whatever has been bound in heaven, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Binding and loosing. God wants us to bind the evils, not just by, again, using a formula prayer, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I've used that a few times when I've been confronting evil, and the evil just laughs at me. It's not a formula. It's a lifestyle. It's when evil is confronted by the light, the goodness of Jesus that he sees in us. Whoa! That's what makes him jump back. It's not just using a formula. Somebody, you know, some people think that I can just, my prayer is just a bunch of words strung together, and you know, and if I say them often enough, then the devil's going to fly away. No, no. It's a life that gets right. The purer our lives, the more power we have. That's what helps us to reach critical mass. And that's when we can loose people that are bound and bind the enemy who's been doing some pretty mean stuff. I'm still growing in this. How about you? And what I'm sharing with you today is, again, we're getting on the path. We're wanting to live this out. We don't do this perfectly. We need each other in this. But when it starts to happen, then substance abusers find release from their addiction, whatever it is. That's why 12-step groups are so popular. Because people are coming and getting real. And they start to get release. Now they fall back. But when you fall back, where do you get help? You go back again. So, and you're honest. I was wrong. I messed up. And they said, okay, today's a new day. That's what God says to us when we mess up. Today's a new day. I'll take you right where you are. When people are loosed and evil is bound, gossips release their subjects from bondage. And every one of us knows we've done it and we've been the victim of it. And we know that it's just not a good thing. But we get released from that. An unfaithful spouse gives up his or her affair. Whoa. They say, you know, what I'm doing is wrong. That's the Holy Spirit. Or two or three are gathered in my name. Things are changing. Prideful, power-hungry bosses stop demanding and start serving the people that are on that are under them. And they start to get under the people and lift them up. That's the Holy Spirit. Now we're seeing the kingdom of God break in. And an unnecessarily jealous person begins to trust. Wow. Trust is a big deal. Trust, the distrust is all part of the kingdom of darkness. But when things start to change around, when trust starts to happen, and we start to really live open and transparent lives with one another, whew, critical mass is soon approached. What we're talking about here is agreement. It's not easy to get Christians to agree with the Holy Spirit because we're still on the way. It's been said that where two or three Baptists are gathered together, there are four or five opinions. So you know, there's a lot of argument going on right in here. And that's real. You know it. Sometimes you've felt the argument within yourself. Baptists know how to do it well. Do we know how to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, though? There's a lot of flesh that gets in the way. Cindy Jacobs wrote a book called Possessing the Gates of the Enemy. And this is what she says. Sometimes we take a little shower at Calvary rather than let God deeply cut and wash away the hurts with His astonishing blood. Oftentimes we are unaware of the extent of the damage to our hearts until we are in difficult situations and our bitterness reveals itself in our words and actions. Ever been there? You know, somebody that you really love deeply and you just cut them to shreds with your words? Unless, she says, unless we let the Holy Spirit shine His light on all the unforgiveness of our lives, our prayers will be tainted by the wounds of our hearts. Unless we let the Holy Spirit shine His light on all the unforgiveness of our lives, our prayers will be tainted by the wounds of our hearts. So let's open ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit to bring agreement. When a sister or brother comes to reprove or inspire, listen. You don't have to believe it all, but listen and submit it to prayer. It could be that the critical mass of God is now at that very point gathering you and me into His arms. So He can say, now we've got two or three together. Watch what the explosive power of this. And remain humble. That's hard. Because we've been taught to be prideful. You know, buck up and be prideful. But pride keeps us from the work that God wants us to do. In 1939, as the Nazis were moving into the Netherlands, a fellow named Henry Kramer, a Dutch theologian, was asked by a group of Christians, "Our Jewish neighbors are disappearing from their homes. What shall we do?" And Kramer answered, "I cannot tell you what to do, but I can tell you who you are. You are God's called out people. If you know who you are, you will know what to do." And the Dutch resistance movement was formed. And there are a lot of people that inhabit many places around the world that would not be if it hadn't been for that and other resistance movements. Because people were willing to listen to the Holy Spirit and be that unstoppable force. You see, Hitler was stopped. You know that. That's history. He wreaked a lot of havoc, but he was stopped. And I believe that ISIS can be stopped as well. Do you believe that? We are God's people. Look at the persons around you. Look at the person next to you. Look at them. Go ahead. Look at them. You're looking at someone who is opposite you. It's a little uncomfortable. I know we don't like to, looking into other people's eyes is like, whoa. Quickly we want to look away because it's getting serious now. And Jesus says, yeah, it is getting serious. That's what I want you to do. I want you to look into one another's eyes and look into the windows of their souls. I want you to bond because this is what I want to use to stop ISIS. You are the body of Christ. You with the person sitting next to you can change the world, harnessed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is a tested but little used vaccine for all the hurting of this world. Because we're afraid to look into each other's eyes. We're afraid to really bond because it gets messy sometimes, doesn't it? It does. Stephen Sotloff, 31 years old. He was torn between two worlds. His friend Barak Barfi, who is a research fellow, an Arabic scholar and a research fellow with the New America Foundation think tank in Washington. This is his friend. He said, but the Arab world pulled him. He saw need. Now here's a Jewish man that was pulled by the Arab world to be there. And he wasn't alone. He was a journalist. But it wasn't just journalism. His friend says he was no war junkie. He merely wanted to give voice to those who had none. Now, that sounds like Jesus to me. Barfi ended the family statement. This was the official family statement. And he ended it in Arabic saying, Steve died a martyr for the sake of God. And then he challenged this ISIS group and the leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. He says, I want to debate Islam, and I want to say to you these words, woe to you. You say the month of Ramadan is the month of mercy. Where is your mercy? God does not love the aggressor. He said, I'm ready to debate you with kind preachings. I have no sword in my hand, and I am ready for your answer. Whew. Gutsy. A few people that are willing to do what God wants them to do. To join together. And I believe that it's this kind of, you know, he might lose his head too. Didn't Jesus? I might lose my head. But it doesn't mean that I have not been used in a powerful way in a movement that will one day take over this world completely. That's what we believe. That's our hope. And today the Lord Jesus draws a few more into the critical mass at Seaview. And to that end, I would like to have a couple people come and join me here at the front. Liz? Najla? And Will's not here. I'm sure that hearing these words are powerful words. And without saying anything in a public sense, we know your heart, Najla. Whew. Najla was baptized not too long ago, just about a month and a half ago. And I would like to say that we are glad now to welcome, now here's the real name, Fatima Mosheni, okay? Najla is her nickname. And we know her as Najla, and we'll always continue to, we'll know her as Najla, but that's your official name. And so I present to you this certificate of baptism, and I, with so much happiness and joy, welcome you. Into the fellowship of Seaview Baptist Church.
Thank you so very much.
And Liz, to you as well. Oh, that's Will's. Yeah. Elizabeth Ann Terrazas also comes. She was baptized, and it's a new start for you. It's a new life. And you have chosen to say, I'm going to be one of the two or three that God calls. But it's more, isn't it? Here we are together. And so I extend to you this right hand of fellowship and say, we're so glad to have you and to have Will as well. I'll give you his certificate.
Thank you. Great. Thank you.
And also Dan and Betsy, come on up. Now, these two dear people are not joining officially Seaview Baptist Church. They are members at Calvary Baptist Church of Ocean View. I happen to have heartstrings attached to that church, and you know why. But you also are part of what God is doing in bringing two more to join your hearts with ours together. Together, we will beat down with love that which is evil and raise up that which is broken and put it back together. It's not my power, yours, or ours. It's Him. And so together we stand as the people of God. We will overcome. Lord, we are glad to be together in this place this morning. Lord, you have called us. You know our names. You want to use us. And we want to speak a word, Lord, to anyone who is part of the darkness. You are deeply loved. Our Lord Jesus loves you and will not rest until you are in his arms. Lord, we together give ourselves to that end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thanks. Well, let's sing together. But before we do, the deacons are going to be coming. And they're going to wait on us for one more offering, for the deacon's offering, which is another way we say, this is light just broadcast into the darkness. We care for people who are in need. And so the deacons use this fund in many, many ways to bring light into the darkness. And as they receive this offering, let's sing together. They'll know we are Christians by our love.